What's up, guys? You are on Flip with Rick, and it is moi, Rickin. And today, we are just going to deep dive into getting arrest records. And no, I don't want you to get arrested, but I'm going to give you a valuable resource today to find motivated tellers that, honestly, most people actually avoid this. You see, I found out this technique actually a long time ago by accident. I actually dealt with a gentleman that was being arrested that needed to get his house taken care of. And after I saw what a great deal he gave me, and I looked at like two or three other people I dealt with, why not, guys? Do you think arrested people are any different than you and me? So guys, without further ado, let's talk about arrest records. I'm going to walk through this. And after that, if you guys want to hop on a one-on-one mastermind with me, go over to Wholesaling Houses for Real, get registered there, click the link on today's video, and you can get in line and we can do a one-on-one. I'm going to try to talk to as many people as I humanly possibly can today. So without further ado, let's get into it. What are we talking about, arrest records? And what the heck am I talking about here? Well, good people get arrested. Good people do dumb things, and good people get put in situations where they actually need help. And if you truly want to be a wholesaler, you have to dig. I mean, really dig to find motivated lists, motivated sellers, so you can get the best wholesale deals. In fact, we're all talking about like realtors and they're getting their commission stripped from the buyer's agent. The reality is it's not enough servicing. They're going to have to learn how to prospect. The really cool thing as a wholesaler is that's all you do is learn how to prospect. It is your number one skill set to market to motivated sellers. So what I want you to do is look at the arrest records. If you want to do them or not, have an unbiased opinion, set your ego aside. Remember, we're not here to judge people on why they contacted us. We just want to create the best win-win situation we possibly can. And that's why I like to do arrest records. And I know a lot of you guys are probably thinking like, well, what are we really looking for? I'm going to tell you the exact type of arrest records you're looking for and the ones you really absolutely want to avoid. So arrest records, it's actually, I can't make this video any simpler than I can right now. So number one, how do we pull the arrest records? Thought about doing a screen share and everything with you, but like this is so simplified. I'm going to make this like super, super simple. The best way is first, I always start off with my local sheriff's office. Now, most sheriffs are delegated at the county level. So like I'm in Martin County, I would look up Martin County sheriffs. If you don't believe me, you can Google it and you can pull up. And what you're looking for is recent arrest records. Now, remember, they don't have to be an inmate to be arrested. So what you're looking for are the most recent bookings. Now, you're going to have to sort through some crap, okay? And it's actually quite interesting what people get arrested for. So if you love to see what's going on in the community, this is actually a great way to start with it. So first thing, go to your county sheriff or your city police website. Actually, I'm going to see if I can pull mine up. And just to kind of show you guys, Martin, let's see. They're all a little bit different, but like you kind of get the gist. Okay, let's see if we can share the screen here. Let's see. Present. So guys, this is your typical sheriff's office. And if you look down here, you can look at all sorts of ways. Some call it public's request, corrections, resources. And what a lot of times do is I have to call and find out. And it'll actually give you steps on how to do everything. Now, let me see here. I pulled it up before. Let me hop off this screen for 1 second. Let's see. Oh boy, they have everything. So you can look up corrections. Okay, so let me show you what I'm looking at. Present, share screen. So basically what I did is I went and pulled up recent bookings, and you can just start clicking right there. And now you do have to go through each and every one of them to take a look and see what they're up for. And some of these have attachments. You just got to navigate through your website. So I'm just going to click the first one here, arrest affidavit, and then you can actually read it. So some of them actually categorize it. And then you go through. So this one right here, let's see what the offense is. So this is for a warrant, which a warrant means you're probably going to jail and you're going to have to post a bond. So what I'm going to do is look up. So what we are looking for the arrestee, and I also going to look up an address. Now, keep in mind, this person got arrested in Martin County, but it looks like they have a Palm Beach address. So what you have to do now is cross-reference either Martin County records or the Palm Beach County property appraisers records. And from that, you should be able to look up and see if there's any type of links. Now, I say search the most recent arrest, but the words you're really looking for is bookings. Everybody gets booked. Not everybody gets detained. So I'm not a cop. I do understand the legal system. Some people get arrested and they post bond, or some of them, it's a minor charge and they get let go, or some have to sit in the county jail. And a county jail is just a temporary holding cell for people that didn't make bail or whatever they have to do. Now, here's the most common types. I'm going to tell you right now. You're looking for DUIs. That's going to be 80% of them. The next one's going to be battery. I'm sorry, it's just the truth. Some of these people hurt other people. Typically, it's domestic battery is the most second common one I see. And the third one is theft. A lot of it is petty theft, but honestly, people writing bad checks, stuff like that. I'm not here to get into the weeds of it, but here's what happens on all three of these types of felonies that are on your screen. Once they start getting arrested two and three times, they're going to wind up doing significant jail time. And significant jail time means they get taken away from a house if they own it. And a lot of these people lack trust for kind of obvious reasons, because they're doing illegal activities. And they don't really have anyone to depend on to take care of the house while they're in jail. And that's where you and me guys come into it. That's where it's absolutely perfect. And I'm telling you, the average person that goes away by the second and third time, they're doing usually 3 to 5 years for any of these three above here. If you a constant repeat offender, then the law keeps imposing stiffer penalties on you. And that's how it should be. But keep in mind, guys, someone's first DUI, they're probably not, they might go to jail overnight. They have a small bond to post. But when they keep doing it over and over, by the time you get your third DUI, you're looking at 3 to 5 years. The first one's supposed to scare you. The second one, you're going to do a light amount of jail time. And by the third time, you're doing a lot of jail time. So this is the order of which I get most of them in. Have I taken other ones? Yeah, but for the most part, I'm looking for a felony. It was someone who is an habitual offender of the exact same thing over and over. Why? Because the judges become less and less lenient with these people. And that's why arrest records are actually really cool. Very few people actually comb through these. Mostly bail bondsmen comb through them. And by the way, bail bondsmen is an excellent, excellent avenue to find motivated sellers. Basically, they're motivated insurance men that want to get their premiums back when someone screwed up or violated their parole. So, once you cross-reference the person that is arrested and you find if they own property in that county, then this is what I do. So after you do that, I'm going to go over the property appraiser site. Sometimes you do have to look at multiple counties and you have to keep that in mind. And the golden rule, guys, the golden rule, we're looking for multiple felony offenses. Now, say you find your list. These lists, by the way, you're not going to get hundreds of leads from them. You might get 20 to 40 or 50, depending on what size county you're in. And that's a good, healthy one. Some of you guys in small towns, it might be like 5 or 7 because the population's only so big and they can only arrest so many people. But that's okay if they do that because that's the name of the game. And maybe you're the only wholesaler in town reaching out to these people. Guys, this works. I found it by accident. Now, once you have your arrest records and you've cross-referenced to them, your next step is to figure out your method to reach out and contact your arrest prospects. I call them prospects. They're not even a lead. You have no idea if they're even going to work out yet. So, in my opinion, the absolute best way to get in contact with these people is direct contact. And in my opinion, there's two very, very good ways. And then I'm going to give you two other options that you can create. So let me put the one in here. Let's see. Oh, that's it. Okay, I got it. So the quickest way to get a hold of everyone is going to be a cold call, guys. Cold calling is king in this. All you have to do is once you get the property owner's information, you just have to skip trace that data. You choose which service you want to use, and you just call them. And honestly, the simpler and more direct you are with them, the better off you are. They are not looking for a big sales pitch. Honestly, all I do is say to them, say, listen, do you have interest in selling your house? I drove by. It seems like a good house that we'd like to add to our collection. And it's simple as that. I do not talk about their arrest records. I don't do anything. Now, I will tell you, texting is extremely powerful because this is how most of these people are going to communicate. And do not overlook a good SMS text blast on this. Now, the good news is this isn't a ton of leads. You don't need a triple line dialer. You just need your cell phone, and you can easily do the SMS texting through your Google Voice, or you could just do the cold calling through your regular Google Voice and use that. So the level of sophistication in this campaign is very simple. Here's the key, guys. You just got to do it. Some of you are looking for free ways to get leads for motivated sellers for your wholesaling operation. And if you're short on leads and you're not working the arrest records, then I have to ask you, are you doing absolutely everything you humanly possibly can to do it? The answer is obviously no. So listen, if you're short, do the arrest records. It doesn't take a lot of time. It's very simple. It's not hard. And you know what? You might get an extra 500 to 700 leads in a calendar year. And you know what? I got to think there's 2 or 3 deals in there somewhere. Now, here's the cool part. If you go, hey, listen, Rick, this guy gives me the creeps. I don't want to do business with him. He's freaking me out. That's fine. In wholesaling, you choose who you want to work with. Now, I've never gotten enough deals where I just tell people no because I don't want to deal with them. The only people I get rid out of my life are the scam artists, the 100% liars, and the people that just fake everything. And you will have some of that in this. But the reality is, guys, drama, it equals money. I'm sorry. The one thing you are going to get with your arrest records campaign, you're going to get a lot of drama with it. And there's no way around it because keep in mind, you have a captivated audience and you've got to understand that to make it work, they're trying to get your attention. And I've had these people go on like really long rampages, but like, don't worry about it. Okay. Drama equals money. If you can fix drama, drama means other people have problems. The thing is, you just don't get caught up in that drama personally at all. It's all on you. Okay. But you will have drama. You're going to get a lot of their life stories. But remember the rules on dealing with a motivated seller. As long as you're safe and you're in a safe environment and you can engage them to build your rapport building skills and get an amazing conversation, that is the element of how we get great wholesale deals. Why would it be any different for like an arrest record? There's absolutely no difference at all. And guys, this is, you can't just get through this without talking to them. And those of you that want to talk to them via text, you have to switch them to a phone call because a lot of inmates, a lot of bookings, they like the text a lot because it's very discreet and they don't have to deal with humans. So you have to be different. You're actually going to have to step up and get their consent if they want to sell the house. If they are, then great. Just be flexible with them and help them out with absolutely everything you can. So once again, the best way is always going to be cold calling and doing text, in my opinion. Now, if you want to add two more services to that, if you don't do that, you can always do direct mail, but you don't have as much time because some of these people are going away for years in less than like a month or two. So there's really not enough volume. Now you can mix it in your regular direct mail mix, but I'm just telling you, you need a little bit more speed. That's why I prefer cold calling and texting. Or the third one is reverse driving for dollars. And I'm going to give you a caveat on it. You ladies out there, I know some of you guys are a lot tougher than the guys. Don't do anything you don't feel safe doing. So this is not a requirement, but if you can get direct contact with either the phone, a text, or like a reverse driving for dollars, and you feel safe and secure, then go for it. If you're a lady and you're uncomfortable doing this, either don't do it or bring a gentleman with you. And who knows, you get somebody to like help you beat on all the doors and knock on them. And remember, reverse driving for dollars, you can just put a note on the door. So you can get in and out, but I'd rather have somebody watching you or have your husband go out and stick it on the door instead of you. And you just do the logistics of it. Because let's face it, you ladies are much more organized than the average men, and it works out well with that. So remember, guys, drama. Drama equals money. So anybody who wants to go through the arrest records, it is simple. It does not take a ton of training. If you want to learn more on how to do this technique, or you want like an additional video, then I want you to go right here, freewholesaling.com. Me and my son have created a 100% free course. And honestly, if you are brand new to wholesaling or you're frustrated and you bought a course from someone else and it didn't get you anywhere, I got good news for you. I'm going to give my 21 years experience. My son's going to give away his 7 years experience. We created this course over 3.5 years ago, and we're the only teachers in the wholesale space that actually give all our content away for free. That's right. Yes, I do have a Flip with Rick program and I show people how to get in that for free, but I want everybody to go to freewholesaling.com. Number one, I want you to get started. If there's a 90%, 95% failure rate in the wholesaling industry, then why would I take everyone's money when only 5 to 10% are going to take the action? So me and Zach flipped it on its head. We're not a guru. We don't like teach like they do. We actually do this business. And I want to find the people that are watching right here. Go to freewholesaling.com. The only thing you're going to do is exchange your email and you get complete transparency on our course. Listen, every guru downloads our course. They take our information. We're the only ones that show everything up front without charging you a penny. And I challenge anyone else out there to do it because we need to be helping people out instead of just like collecting these giant course fees and then still having them come over to freewholesaling.com to figure it out. My goal is not only to get you to first deal, but easily to make your first $100,000, guys. I love wholesaling. I am like the biggest advocate of wholesaling, and anybody who participates in wholesaling, I feel for you because this is a tough business, but it is a absolutely rewarding and fun business. And if you want to change your life and your trajectory and you're interested in wholesaling, go to freewholesaling.com. I'm telling you, it will help you out a ton. So guys, listen, if you're here for the first time, do me a favor, make sure you smash that like button. And for God's sakes, make sure you're subscribed to this channel. Getting ready to hit 100K here shortly. Hopefully you guys can get us there faster. And you know what? You subscribers speak loud. I never base my worthiness on subscribers. I base it on the amount of connections I make with people and how many wholesalers I help figure out how to get out of the matrix through wholesaling. Some people do it in a few months. Some take a few years. Either way, you're unique. God only made one of you. And I want you to be successful in wholesaling. I absolutely want everybody to be successful in wholesaling. I think if we all win together, we make money together, then amazing things can happen. But join us on our YouTube channel here, soon to be 100K. And then, guys, we've just got started. So I know a lot of people are like, oh, the Gins, they can never stick around. They'll never make it. It's so hard to do. I'm here to tell you, we're absolutely going nowhere. We put out more videos, more content, and we share more deals and do more deals with our students, our partnerships, everything. Why? Because people trust us and we actually do deals with everybody all over the country. Listen, you don't need to hide behind a fire paywall to figure out how to do wholesaling. Just find people that are actively doing it. Go to freewholesaling.com. Go to your local RIAs. Find somebody to help you out with this business. I believe if you just get started, you actually wanted wholesaling. So if you got started, pat yourself on the back, because that's one of the biggest obstacles that you are ever going to find on it. So with that being said, let's jump over to questions. Now, if you guys want to, let me pull this up here. People ask me, listen, how do I come on? How do I come on the live stream with you? And I'll show you. It's real simple. I know Zach normally does this, but it's not that hard. Okay, let me share my screen here. Let's see here. Okay, so if you want to jump on the live, here's what you need to do. Go over to our Facebook group. 121,000 wholesale investors. It's like no other group. We don't allow spamming here. And we try to keep all the gurus out, even though they try to sneak in every time. Then basically, all you have to do is click on the link on how we get started. And here's what I'm going to do extra for you guys. Let's see here. Okay. What I'll do, I'm going to leave you guys a little bit of bonus for some of you that, and I'm just going to do this by first come, first serve. I'm going to put the link live stream. It's in there. It's under my comments. So you guys should be able to see it. Actually, nope, I didn't do that. Did I? Okay. Here it comes. Here it comes. I put the link in the comments under Rick Ginn, first come, first serve. Let's jump over and do some questions. Yeah, I forgot to put the link up, so I just put it in there for you guys. So different way you guys can view things. So I think it'll work. So Zach, you've got to basically get their name, and then you're going to have to cross-reference it to that county's property appraiser site. And keep in mind, sometimes your counties are closely niched in. They could live in like Palm Beach and they travel to like St. Lucie County. So you got to kind of just do a Google search and then go in the property appraisers and work on it from there. The link's under the comment on Rick Ginn. Make it super simple for you. Yeah. No promotions. Come on. Drama equals money. You are right. And Treya, I think she is referring to freewholesaling.com. The course is worth taking halfway through. Knew nothing of wholesaling. We really appreciate you too. Guys, I'm telling you, man, I got 21 years. I poured absolutely everything into it and take advantage of it. Just assume you paid me 10 grand. And the really cool part is I find people that I help get started in wholesaling. Most of my get to six figures and then they want to go, how in the world can I work with Zach and Rick? And this is how we do it. So Let me see here. What's Amelia? How you doing? Yes, Zach is out today, so you guys get me, which I think hopefully might be better. Maybe we can, but we can talk about anything. Me and Zach do the exact same thing. Okay, let's jump on. Here's a good question because we were talking about earlier, bail bondsman. And I went over this last week too. Guys, the best way to work with the bail bondsman is just good old like networking, foot to foot. You can't call them. You can simply send them an email, but they're very unique people. And if you don't know what I mean by like that, when you meet them, you'll understand they deal with some of the most ruthless people in society. And they have to deal with them at their weakest time in their most vulnerable position. And they have to talk about a lot of money. Why a bail bondsman is so valuable is because if you have to put up like a $100,000 bond, they typically charge a 10% premium. And it's basically an insurance policy. They get 10 grand and they post the bond. And if you do everything correct, you go to court, whatever, then you basically lose your 10 grand and that's the fee. The other option is they can sit in jail and not post bond. Nobody wants to do that. Or they have to put up $100,000. This is where the bail bondsmen's really come in. A lot of time people put up their mom's house for collateral. I see it all the time. And then mom doesn't have the ability to make any type of payments. And if they don't make those payments, it becomes a problem. Now, some of them put up the house for a lien just to post the bond, the insurance bond for the bail bondsman. Or sometimes they put up the house as backing to pay the entire, if it was $100,000. So that being said, that's where you come up with bail bondsmen. Not the easiest people to deal with. Most of them have had it in the family for generations after generations. So let's see. What else I got? Okay, so let's jump on. We're going to try something a little bit different today. I see how many people we can get on a live stream and help them out with it. So the only thing I need help with you guys when we do this is just have your question and try not to ask like five questions all at once. I would do the same too. And I know you're trying to take advantage of the time, but let's see how many people we can get through. And the more questions we get, honestly, the better this comes out. So let me jump on here. Let's see. I put the course information along the bottom. I said, if you haven't started out, and then here's what we are going to do. I am going to randomize this a little bit. Rick, you there? Can you hear me? Rick. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. Rick got bumped. Let's try this again. Aaron, you there? Aaron.
Rick, can you hear me?
Yeah, man. How you doing?
Hey, Rick. I'm actually at this part-time job. Sorry about that, but I got a quick second to chat real quick.
Go ahead. Quick questions on what we're doing today.
Yes, sir. So I've been talking to the Clayton County a lot today about the tax delinquents. I even emailed them an open record request on their email. And what I'm getting back, the pushback that I'm getting is they're telling me that I got an email back from the district attorney saying that basically it's not public information and they don't have to share it. And so I called the clerk of the court to make sure I was talking to the correct department. And so the clerk of the court, she really didn't want to help me out. She was just told me to call the code enforcement office. And so I called them again. And they're basically telling me to like, I need to get a lawyer involved, that they're not going to share the information from me, and to email the same email that I've already emailed the open record request to. So that's where I'm at with them. I'm just at a dead end right now, trying to figure out how I can proceed forward and what I can do to give me some leverage on this.
Which state are you dealing with?
I'm Clayton County, Georgia.
So here's what I'm going to tell you, because if I could pull the records for you, I would. Number one, the taxes are supposed to be public information, because here's what happens is when people won't pay their taxes, they have to put it out for public information to sell the tax certificates. So what you need to figure out is their privacy policy. And I'm going to be honest with you. It is much easier to do in person than you do on the phone. It's so easy to say no on the phone. I know I'm not giving you any like superstar advice here, but it's just the truth.
Okay.
If property taxes pay for the fire department, the police department, your school systems, the roadways, it should be public information. Now, why they're not cooperating with you, I think it's just easy for them to say no to you over the phone. And why would you have to hire an attorney to get public records on right. county taxes?
Right.
And then I always tell them, here's what I do when people give me a difficult time. If you could just put an email and tell me word for word what I need to do, so in the event I do have to get a lawyer, I can document I followed exactly what you told me to do.
Right. Okay.
You shouldn't have to get a lawyer to get public information, but you just try to appease them and get past the privacy policy, and it goes a lot further if you go in person. And you're going to have to use your skill building sets, just like we teach you with motivated sellers.
Oh yeah.
You got to do same thing with government employees. Remember, right. they're just the regular people. Yes, her sir. Boss is just telling her, don't give it out no matter what. Give them a hard time. Okay. Eventually, they're going to have to give it to you.
All right.
Because it does wind up going public eventually anyways. And if it funds all your local utilities, your roadways, your schools, your police department, why would I have to hire a lawyer? Like, I hire a lawyer, you guys are going to have to pay for it. Just keep pressing through and try to get the information and try to go in person, okay?
Okay, Rick. So the best bet to come to conclusion is basically just get the address, go there in person, and try to get through the private policy.
Yeah, and you're going to have to kiss a little butt. I'm not going to lie to you. And listen, guys, I never said you guys are going to bat 100% on every list. Some counties are just difficult. Sometimes I have to wait for employees to quit or get fired to get back and getting the normal list. And sometimes people are just having a really bad day and they take it out on you. Go, listen, I know you're just doing your job, but here's all I'm trying to do is get access to the information that funds all our roadways, our schools, our police department, our fire department. And you're telling me that public information is private. If you could, and worst case scenario, I just haven't put it in writing because 9 times out of 10, they'll never put it in writing because it gets them in trouble. So,
well, I did get an email back from what the email was saying. It was saying like, this is not public information, but it came from the district attorney. And I asked my old real estate boss that I used to work for, originally started off wholesaling.
Uh-huh.
I said, he told me to call the clerk of the court, that the court, that would be my best bet for her to get me to the correct department.
You could be at the wrong department too. I don't know what a code enforcement officer would have to do with property taxes. Other than that's how he gets paid.
Right, right. So, yes, sir.
Just recircle the wagons. It's a pain in the butt. I mean, I get property tax. It's funny. Is I just paid it like $80,000 in property taxes today. It's ridiculous.
Okay, Rick. Well, I appreciate it. I'm going to JV my next deal with you, my friend.
Okay. Let's do it, Aaron. Anytime, man.
To flip in, Rick, and meet you guys in flesh and blood and get connected with you guys. And really
let's do it. Let's do it.
All right, Rick. Okay, I appreciate it. I'm going to contact you as soon as possible. All
got
right.
it. Okay. Destino.
What's up? What's up,
what's
Rick?
Going on, man?
How you doing? How you doing?
We're in the speed rounds today.
I know. I know. I got my question figured out. But first, I want to thank you because I got my first deal. It took me about a year, but I was I kept negotiating myself. I wasn't really consistent on the phone. So, you know, I take full blame, but I stayed consistent and I ended up getting a rap deal in Indiana off of a FSBO.
Okay, guys, did you hear that? Once he decided to lose his excuses and be accountable to himself, honestly, I'm sure he had to lose his ego in there too. If you can do those three things, you can do anything you want in wholesaling. But if you're just constantly going to make excuses, you won't get it. If you want to prove everybody they're wrong and you're right and your ego just blows it, like takes over, you can't listen to other people. Number three, he made himself accountable. Like he just did the work. And at the end of the day, here's the trick. And like, if you ever want to study someone who gets stuff done and you wonder why, like you don't, the truth is most people that don't get stuff done are not accountable to themselves. Meaning they will lie, steal, and cheat. Listen, we all done it. I've done it to myself. You guys do it to yourself. If you can't look yourself in the mirror, the man or the woman, and say, listen, I'm going to do this. And then you keep not doing it. it will destroy you as a person, and it will shatter your self-confidence, and you'll never get anything done. But once you man up or woman up and you say, that's it, I'm not going to negotiate with myself, I'm going to get it done. So unless my health is absolutely failing or I have a family emergency, I'm going to be accountable. So if I said I'm making 700 phone calls this week, it's not 620, it's not 650, it's not 699, it's 700. And a weird thing happens when you start being accountable to yourself. The only way you can fix a problem is you have to know the truth. Because if you don't know the truth, you can't fix it. The only way you can find the truth is by losing your ego. So congrats for following such basic advice, but like it works. And by the way, guys, if you come on here and complain, I'm going to be the first to kick you off because you're not helping me. You're not helping everybody else at Flip with Rick, and you definitely ain't helping yourself.
Yeah, I still struggle with consistency, though. I got to say it. I still negotiate a lot, but I get like at least an hour or two of calling throughout the day. My question to you is, right, if I was, I've been thinking, I'm like, you know what, like if I could just have a system set up where I woke up in the morning and I had a list of motivated leads and I had numbers, then I would probably be more efficient because now I don't have to like skip trace them. I could just call, right? So what would that system be like if I set it up? And I want to average like basically like 5 deals a month. Because I'm really good on the phones, not to toot my own horn, but I'm really good on the phones. Yeah. And so what I'm saying is this, how many leads would I have to just skip trace overnight and have ready the next day just for me to put on like maybe like on a triple line dialer?
Well, dude, you threw a lot at me there.
Sorry.
So the challenge is, I get it, dude. We all want to wake up and have the best list of motivated sellers. It would be every wholesaler's perfect morning. They're vetted. They're ready to go. I just got to call them and close the deals. The reality, when you're in the beginning of your journey, unfortunately, you're the person that has to make that list happen. You are not at a point where people are just going to hand deliver it to you. And honestly, if you're having people hand deliver it, it means you've graduated to the delegation phase and you have people doing stuff in your business. You have a marketing person or a marketing team that helps you find, comb through all these lists, and then just whatever marketing medium you use, you just blow it out. So what you have to do is reverse engineer the number of leads you need to get on average. So if you knew you're getting a deal about every, 2,200 calls, 2,500 calls, you can just simply reverse the math out of it. And the reality is the numbers should get tighter because you become more experienced and you're better. But a lot of things are dictated by how much time you have in the day, what your budget is, and what your system is you have set up. So number one, only you're going to have the answer to that. I could sit here and rattle off numbers. The more volume, the better. Like, I'm not going to overcomplicate this to you, but you just break it down on how many calls do you make a day and how many days a week? And you can just extrapolate out that and have that for a total cold calling number. Also, if you do direct mail and say on average, just simplify things, it costs you 50 cents a piece. It's more than that now. I know that. But if you are going to do 5,000 mailers a month, that's what? 5,000 times... You're going to spend about $2,500 a month to get 5,000 leads, how you get those leads, and you just got to reverse engineer the math. If you were going to do 10,000, I'm sorry, the 5,000 is $2,500 a month. If you did 10,000, it'd be $5,000 a month. And number one, you got to make sure you got the staying power. You got at least 3 months money for it because anything you do in 1 month can be risky in wholesaling. It does take time. So what I would do is simply build you a chart and just reverse engineer from the type of deals you've done, how many phone calls it's take, and then you can easily reverse that just for cold calling. Then you can decide if you want to add texting to it, if you want to do direct mail or anything like that, but always go and deep dive on the thing that's got you the most progress, especially when you get started, because you should be able to put a little money in there and really pour it on.
It would be cold calling, but you did a video where you were like, you know, if you guys want to average 5 deals a month, it was like, I think it was 10,000 leads. That you said, and you said, you know, obviously I have PropStream, so I could get it from PropStream.
Yeah.
And then you said to add like 500 code violations. or should I do that, or should I maybe like have most of those to be just government lists instead of like getting the PropStream ones?
Here's the challenge in the beginning, guys. Government lists give you the highest and best motivated leads, meaning, but the reality is there's only so many people on these lists. Like, you will eventually run out with these lists. In the beginning, you really don't, because you're trying to figure out how to talk to people, how to write contracts, how to do the assignment of contract. But once you do a deal or two and you cut your teeth on government lists, number one, don't stop doing them. But like my government list, like I might be like 2,000 total. Like, to me, that's not enough for me to even do like a mailing and all the other stuff. So we're going to do a 3-prong approach. We're going to cold call them, we're going to text them, and we're going to mail them. And we still go out and do reverse driving for dollars. And then what I'm going to do is try to build up that list with like at least 500 leads driving for dollars. Because to me, once again, government lists and driving for dollars are going to be your highest, like to me, that going to be the best list you can do. But the challenge is like you can only hit those lists so many times. Like when you do the tax delinquencies, after one or two rounds of cold calling and texting and maybe even mail, you're kind of done with the list. I'm not a guy who's going to send someone 7 pieces of mail to see if they get it. If they don't get it by the second or third piece, they're probably not selling your house and I don't waste money. So in the perfect world, I would use listaria.com. I would get my 10,000 free leads with it. And I would maximize that 10,000. How you do it, if it's cold calling, if it's SMS texting, or a combination of mail, it is completely up to you, and using reverse driving for dollars. The next thing I told you, I would exhaust all my government list, and that should give you anywhere from 1,000 to 2,000. And then I would top it off with 500 driving for dollars leads, because I love driving for dollars. A 500 driving for dollars lead list versus a 10,000 one that I'm going to pull off listrei.com, the 500 is going to beat it out every time. The house is already ugly. It has a higher probability of being sold because it's not in great shape. And you have a higher probability of them selling at a discount because the house needs love. It's not on MLS. And here's the best part. It's off market. And when they're off market, that's how we get really great wholesaling deals. So 10,000, 1,500 government leads, and I'd add another 500 for driving for dollars. And that gives you 12,000 prospects. Now, you're going to have to find the most systematic way to cut through them. If you're an individual army, meaning like you do everything, you got to find where your hour is going to come in, and you're going to have to figure out some sort of way to break that down. Because to be honest with you, 12,000 could be overwhelming for one person, but you got to have a plan to attack it. And by the way, I've watched my son rip through 15, 20,000 cold calls in a month by himself because he wanted to learn the business so good. Now,
triple dialer though, right?
Triple. Yeah. I mean, that's like, so if, listen, you can do cold calling without a triple dialer, but like if you want to truly run it as a business and you don't want to waste a ton of time, it's much more effective. It just, because if I call 100 people and only like 4 or 5 picked up, you're literally going to waste an hour just dialing them all. And where a triple dialer, it's just automatic. It rings all 3 phones and picks up the one that picks it up.
One short little question is that my follow-ups are like set up for like maybe the next week. Should I follow up with them in a month if they don't answer? I would just want to make sure I have my follow-up right. That's all.
Yeah. You just got to prioritize your follow-ups. And that's always dictated by talking to the seller. So there's one that's just have to, like, some of them, you got to wait 3 months to call back because you're literally wasting your time. Like when there's 0 signs of motivation, nothing's changed. I want 90 days to go through to see if a life event happens. Guys, you see what happens in 90 days, man. Like weird stuff happens. 90 days is enough to let everything happen in someone's life. And keep in mind, you're coming into the last quarter here. We have Thanksgiving, which people make commitments and try to figure out what's important to them, hopefully family and friends. You also have Christmas. That's where people spend a lot of money and they want to be with their loved ones and they want to prioritize their life. And then the hat trick in this is when people do their New Year's resolution. So someone you just talked to today in 2 months could have a completely different story. If I already have the data and I bought the phone number, I'm going to keep calling them until I have to remove them off of my list. And that is the key. Now, when I have someone that has interest in selling their house, I'm going to cut it to 2 weeks or less. And then there's some people that need to be called in a week. And there's some people that got to be called like every other day or every day because you're just waiting for them to sign a contract. So you should be able to break your follow-ups into four distinct sections. Some people like to do it in three. The bigger your database is, you're going to have to go to a four-prong approach because you have to, because you can't just sit. You will not remember who to call unless you create a task inside of like Podio and do that. But
that's what I'm
if
doing.
They have no interest, they don't express anything, I'm going to put it in a 90-day rotation. And guys, here's what's the really cool part. If you really run your CRM like a business, after like a year, you have enough data just to get through 3 months of follow-ups. It's like getting a whole free list and everything like that. In the beginning, it's actually easy. After about six to nine months, it actually gets overwhelming. And that's a good thing because a lot of the 70% of the deals are always going to be in the follow-up. But you can't just have like a two-prong approach to follow-ups. Wait 1 month, wait 1 week. Everybody's a little bit different. Remember, the hot priority. And you can also do like color codes on them too.
Yeah.
Green, yellow, red, and then, I don't know, purple we call dead.
All right. Thanks a lot, Rick. God bless, man. Appreciate
it. You got it. Okay. So, guys, the link is just look under Rick in comments and click on there. Have your questions ready. And okay, I'm trying to organize through here. Ron, what's going on, buddy? I've been seeing you waiting patiently, man.
What's up, man? What's up? So I talked to a seller yesterday, and he was selling a property that was kind of messed up, but he mentioned that he was sick and he was trying to sell some other properties. And he ended up sending me a list with like 37 different houses, properties that he was trying to get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to go about it because it's so much. Should I do?
This like, is easy. I'm going to make this super easy with you. So when did you get the list?
Yesterday.
How old is the gentleman?
I didn't ask him how old he was. I'm probably
approximately in
my 50s, 50s, 60s.
Old man like me, right? Okay. So did you see how the properties were titled? Is it in his personal name or in a like an LLC?
So it's an LLC. It's under three different LLCs. They're like, depending on how bad they are, he has them under different
LLCs. And how many total properties?
37.
Okay. Did he indicate that he wanted to sell anything at a discount or like, did he tell you what his story was?
Yeah. So he said that he was, he's actually sick. And his doctor told him he can either work on properties or live. You know what I'm saying? So he made his choice. Like he's going to start working on the properties. And he actually sent me a list. And it's very detailed. It has the repairs, how much the repairs are, like what needs to be done, his bottom line for all the properties.
Did you look on that chart to see what percentage of them were vacant?
Yeah, they're all vacant. Except one is being rented out right now and it's completely done. All the rest are like in the middle of being. Okay.
So yeah. I'm gonna show you and I'm gonna give you the pros and cons because this is a typical case that if you haven't come across, it's gonna come across. And right off the bat, it seems very overwhelming, right? Like, oh my God, 37. So you said 37?
Yeah.
Here's what you do. What most of the, like, the, so this is what I call as a professional landlord. You are at risk of the guy sucking so much of your time and getting nothing done. Here's how you solve the problem.
Okay.
Give me just one or two of your most tired, weak, vacant properties.
Okay.
And just do a valuation on that and do a test offer. If he wants retail for that, you're going to have 37 additional fights on your hand. Now, the fact that he's sick and he wants to make a life change could be huge. So which state are we in for this?
I'm in Detroit, Michigan.
So, you know, Detroit's very unique. You know that, right?
Yeah. The area that I picked is like, it's right by the water. Yeah. And it's in a good area. It's by Chrysler's plant. It's like, it's a good area.
Now, here's the good news is I actually do deals in that area, but I work with very, very specialized wholesalers. Because Detroit's like door to door. It's like
right.
One's good, one's bad.
Right.
I would just test them on one property and see what value you come up with.
Okay.
And if you take the most tired like crap property, mm-hmm. that should be the one you get your best deal on it and see if he's even going to work with you. What a lot. How did you get a hold of this guy?
I did drive him for dollars. So
there
I
you go.
House. Yeah, I called him up. And
see, that's was perfect.
Like, yeah, driving for dollars works the best to me. Like the prop stream list worked okay, but driving for dollars, man, that's the best.
Well, I tell you what, if do you have any interest in JVing him if any good, or do you have buyers for him?
So I do have one buyer that I work like closely with, and he kind of wanted me to be like his hands and feet in Detroit. He's from Washington.
I got it.
But, I'm not really too sure about him because he's very specific about what he wants. And I was hoping, because I know you guys do bigger deals, that maybe I could, you know, JV with you.
Yeah.
My first.
So why don't you do this? Send me an email, support at Flip with Rick, and then put your name, put Ron, R-O-N, and Detroit into it. And if you want, I'll look at it. I'm going to keep it private. Okay. But I still need you to take that additional step. Tell him the one he really wants to get rid of the most, the ones that's causing him pain. Because if you can, you want to see if there's any motivation there. Because I'm going to be honest, some of these guys, they're such a pain in the butt. I've had them where they want you to write 37 contracts, or they want you to write a letter of intent. And here's the problem. I'm not a guy that buys bad properties to get the good properties, because if you have one really good one and one really bad one, it means you don't make any money.
Right.
So now, if he's really sick and he's been doing all the work himself, it sounds like he does all the work himself, right?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
It could be some really bad stuff. But just by looking at one of the properties, you'll get a quick feel and a temperature of what type of person you're dealing with them. Mm-hmm. There are professional slumlords that just all they do is collect the rent and they never help their tenants out. And honestly, those properties kind of suck. And then there's ones that want absolutely retail for absolutely everything. So do the one test. Give me your tired, give me your weak, give me your poorest one and see what he'll do with that. If you want to send that list over to support at Flip with Rick, I'll look at it internally.
Yeah.
But I need you to gauge him on one property, okay?
Yeah, I'll give him a call and gauge him on the property. What he's asking for so far, though, it's almost like he knows, like, he knows the business, because they're like the ARV 70% minus repairs, and then that's what he wants, like that number, right? Like he's asking for like $10,000 or $15,000.
It might work, dude. Send it over. Let's look at it.
I got you.
But guys, I want you to understand, when you get someone does the power, I'm the big landlord.
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, I've pitched probably 50 of them. I've only done two, and I had to get help. There were like 50 plus properties. But what they do is they start to take your contract and then they leverage against other wholesalers. Then they go to, they never stop. And so they're smart. They know how to use people. And to protect yourself, you got to find out, is there truly motivation, or is he just old and wants tippy top dollar?
Right.
And here's also what I say to him, Ron. I go, listen, if you're interested in a win-win situation, you give me a good deal. You give me a fair deal, I'll give you a fair deal, and we can back into this, make it work, I'll do it. But like, listen, if you want like full retail for properties you haven't taken care of, I'm probably not going to be your guy. And I just, they've got to reach to you somewhat. So I want you to find some sort of sign of motivation, and I want you to be very hesitant when you deal with them. Like, I go, listen, I'm all about buying. If it's 37 good quality properties, I could probably pay you more, but like he's already telling you he's handing you a headache. So go find the worst headache. And if we can make one work, you can probably make three quarters of that portfolio work.
Okay.
Detroit is unique, though. It is like, it's crazy, but there is a market out there for him. But, and especially vacant properties in Detroit can be really challenging because someone's got to keep up with them. So, test him on that one. Send me the email, support at Flip with Rick, and just don't tie up all your time on it is what I'm telling you. And like, if you can get them to do like one, and what I do is I write one contract, and now once I get him to give me permission on one, now you can play with them. And what I do is I stretch it out and I see if I can get that one sold. If that one gets sold, you make a great profit, then we go and attack the entire spreadsheet. But here's typically what they do. They're like, give me 1.89 million and you can have them all. Well, we'll be here forever trying to figure out those numbers, especially in Detroit.
Right.
So a lot of times you take one or two properties, you find out if you get a deal, and you throw it on the market, and we go back to whoever is, we're going to, if you partner up or you partner up with me, is then we find someone that can just take the whole thing.
Right.
And then you will find the tolerance of them. But guys, listen, when they own 37 properties, they are not your average landlord. So they're not stupid. Even if he's sick, he's going to be a guy with a lot of wisdom. Mm-hmm. And you just got to kind of use your charm to flatter people. But okay. Always go with the ugliest one, because he's going to try to avoid that property with you. And he wants to give you that property last. You want to do it first.
Okay.
And then you'll find out what the tolerance. And if you have one painful conversation, I just saved you 36 others.
Yeah.
So my favorite, guys, is people that own under 4 properties that put them in their personal name. I know they were never meant to be a landlord. Right. And they thought this was going to be super easy. And the fact that they don't even do the legal protection, nor do they understand how the accounting works. Mm-hmm. And those people will usually just cut and run on you. My experience, once they have 4 more, they've had those properties. How long do you think he's had those properties for?
They've been ranging from like 4 years ago to like, I think like up to 8. Like he's been buying them over. And they're all, that was the other thing I was going to ask. Like they're all on the same 3 blocks.
That could be good. It could be bad. Okay. Some investors like, I once bought 4 houses on a cul-de-sac.
Okay.
You know why? Because the guy owned 4 properties and it actually worked out. And it was huge. And so a lot of investors love, because I can put, you know, you could have someone, I can put my mom in here and do like I can live next door to her and take care of it. People will pay top dollar for that that stuff in this world. Right. Maybe an investor wants having all your rentals on one street or one block is powerful for them, because it's, they can send one guy to go house to house to do all repairs. So actually, if it's in proximity, it just depends on what area of Detroit it is in. And okay. We got to find out, like, if it, you know, is the entire neighborhood in there vacant? And that's, you're just going to have to get out and kind of peek out there and take a look at it.
I'm going to let you go after this, because I know you got stuff to do.
Yes. But
that's kind of my last thing. It was hard finding comps. I've been using your 100 rule, because a lot of the houses in that, it's an area in development. So there's nothing but land or distressed houses. So it's hard for me to find a good comp.
So you got to find out what the ROI is on a rental in there for an investor. So what would someone pay in those? And then you're going to have to kind of do some guesstimate on damages, because, by the way, these type of landlords, they usually run them into the ground at the very end.
Okay.
I just dealt with a landlord that was running an extension cord from the neighbor's house through the window because they got the meter taken off I guess they never paid the bill.
Okay.
People are resourceful, man. You got it, Ron. Just dig in there and send me that email. I look forward to it.
All right. Thanks, Rick.
Okay. Awesome. Matthew, are you there?
Yeah, Rick. How are you?
Good. What's going on, man?
Can you hear me good?
I hear you perfect, man. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Again, thanks for the content. You and your son are like rock stars in my eyes. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Not everybody feels that way, by the way.
That's crazy.
It's funny. And guys, I'm just here to tell you, me and Zach will take every arrow in our back. We have really pissed off the guru community because we give stuff away for free. I want you to think about that for a second. Okay. And a lot of people, he charges for Flip with Rick. Number one, I have a free way to get into it. And a ton of you have taken me up into it. And number two, I still tell everyone, when you get started in wholesaling, go over to freewholesaling.com. I have never changed that course. I have never taken, all I do is add to it. And when I add to it, the people that actually want to go out and do the business, they're going to take the action and be accountable to themselves. It's all there. So guys, just because I offer an additional service for those of you that like to take me up on it, and the people I do that, I'm looking to create long-term partnerships and trying to get them to scale up their business. But I want everyone to get their first wholesale deal, get to their first 100 grand, and then you make that decision. You can do that all at freewholesaling.com. I have never, ever, me and Zach have never taken it away from you guys. So that being said, I appreciate the compliment, Matthew. So what's going on?
No, it's cool. Like I followed you guys for a minute. I got my first deal off of Bandit Signs. You know,
awesome.
I know Zach, you know, he's a real proponent of those, but that's been, and this is going to show I haven't had the best discipline almost a year and a half ago. since I haven't had to deal since. And like, you know, and it's no excuses. It's just me not marketing it enough, you know? So, yeah. And then like, you know, they hired some more people with the whole bandit signs and stuff, but those are excuses. So I just been, I've just now just been like cold calling and pulling like a bunch of lists and stuff and just doing it that way. But yeah.
Well, Matthew, kudos for at least recognizing it. Yeah. If you recognize kind of your own BS, it's just easier to get through it. And we've all fought through this. And I'm here to tell you, a lot of people, you go into wholesaling with your old personality. Well, if you didn't like your old personality and it caused you to be broke, you can't use your same habits to be successful in wholesaling. You're going to have to change. And you know what people hate the most in life?
Change.
They hate it. Like, listen, try to trust me, but like, I'm just, guys, we all know the outcome of where we're going, right?
Yeah.
We're all going I'm not going to get into the practicality, but listen, you started dying the day you were born. So you have a choice. You can count the number of days you live, or you can count the number of days you truly lived. Mm-hmm. And honestly, you've got to look at it. If somebody did not wake up this morning, and you guys, when people come out here and like bitch and moan, first thing you do is just be accountable to yourself. And guys, understand that marketing is the lifeblood of all wholesalers. And if that blood is not pumping, your organs are not going to work. And you just got to find a way to do it. So now that you recognize it, you got to break down a plan to create consistency. So either you plan your day or the rest of the world will plan it for you. One way or the other, your day's getting planned. It's either your choice or the other person's choice. And I promise you, if you don't take control of that, it will force you to be broke.
You're all right, man. You're right.
Okay.
I know you're busy right now. I know I'm taking your time, but yeah,
I'm so, like, talking to you, man. It's okay.
Hey, thanks. But yeah, so, you know, I started back, marketing, and, it's been like, I want to say about 3 weeks, you know, I try to pull like, you know, the probates every day. I get the list pendences like every 7, you know, days. I got the code violations for the past 4 months since the 25th of July.
Okay.
Also the tax liens. I know there's the municipal ones for like Harris County. Then there's the ones for, you know, for like the actual like, you know, just like the state, because there's two different departments. Mm-hmm. I had to do all that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to make sure that I get like, because I'm doing it off of this thing called Sideline. It's like a more sophisticated version of like Google Voice. You know, but you know, because costs are low compared, because I don't want to put as much money in the batch yet, but I'm going to. But I'm just trying to get at least 10 contacts a day. It's mostly no's, but I know it's a numbers and volume thing. I remember you say volume makes up for quality. So
yes,
that's the thing. But yeah, man, I'm trying to get at least 10 to 15 contacts a day. I already cold called today. I'm at 6 for the day, 6 no's. But yeah, man. Really, it's just like, do you think that sounds like I'm in the right area, or am I like doing like enough?
I mean, listen, dude, I'm never going to limit the amount of volume you do. So yeah. it just government lists, you're reverse driving for dollars and you're driving for dollars. Just max those out and just decide if you want to go to like listyourai.com, or you can go over to Batch and you can get the 10,000 per month. It kind of forces you to take action, because you're paying for that data, even though it's cheap, but it's use it or lose it every 30 days. So it gives you 120,000 contacts you can do in a given calendar year. And then if you add your government list, so then it just comes down, how do I reach out and contact all these potential prospects? And you got to come up with a plan. And if you're doing it yourself, you got to be honest with yourself. Either you're going to have to like kick it way up, or you're going to have to bring in somebody to help you out. And only you can make that decision. But volume fixes everything, guys. I'm just telling you. I also hear you use the word try in there. You got to get rid of that word. It's like ask Zach what happens when an employee says, I'm going to try this. We don't try anything. If you're going, it's a must and you're going to get it done. Try means if I don't get a positive experience immediately, I quit. And that's the problem with the word try.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of, you know, listen to your own vocabulary and start like writing it down, and you'll notice patterns. When you say the word try, it means It's like throwing up a goal and saying I ain't really gonna like try, but like I'm gonna try by sticking it up. So like the word try actually makes you weak right off the bat. Like I'm so just get rid of those, and then just dial in how you're gonna get the X amount of contacts per month. And remember, you get 30, 31 days in a month. Like it's not rocket science. I love when people go, I'm doing 10,000 a week. How many did you do today? 12. Like, dude, the plan's not going to work.
Yeah.
Either your plan's flawed or like you must be working 24 hours a day. So just come up with a plan to attack it. I can't, when people go, oh, somebody said the other day, I go through 30,000 pieces of data a month. I'm like, walk me through it. Because you're almost doing more than I am. I'm like, no, I can't get a deal. I'm like, no, walk. Once we walked through it, it wasn't 30,000 pieces. It wasn't even close. I think it was like 3,000 total. So just break it down. You got to have a set plan for your marketing. And the only way you can do it is break it down. How many you need to do a day, a week, and then you can start bringing it down per quarter. But if what you're doing right now is not working, scratch it. Like if you're not getting deals and making money, just start over. Because doing it the wrong way is not going to make, it's just going to keep you busy. And you know what? You know what busy makes you, right?
Broke.
There you go.
The busy people are the broke.
They are, because they keep doing the same thing over and over, thinking it's some way going to miraculously change. Dude, I've done this. I'm not a hypocrite about it. But like it, sometimes you got to sit around and get like, what the hell am I doing? I'm not getting anywhere. So your body has this ability, especially your subconscious mind, to do things that keep you busy because it soothes your soul.
Yeah.
But you know, deep down, you're not getting anywhere doing it. And remember, we actually want to become rich. We don't want to look rich. If you want to look rich, amen, you got to be busy as hell. You got to be busy. You got to be making your car payments. You got to make your mortgage payments, and you got to look good. And so you constantly have to adjust yourself. Someone like me is like, guys, you want to know what I drive? I drive a beat up F-150 truck and I got a Honda Accord. It ain't sexy. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I don't give a crap what you think of my car. Actually, me trying to validate what you think of my car and my belongings is just a waste of human space. It does not make you any better. And I will go even a step further. If you're going to brag about your Lamborghini, I saw somebody bragging about a Porsche. Guys, listen, a Porsche is not a high-end car. It's a nice car, but it's not like a baller's car. I'm sorry, unless you got...
And you're into boats. I remember you.
Yeah, I do. A million barely even gets you to the game on boats.
Jeez.
Because it costs you $3,500 a month just to store the damn thing. And it's going to cost you another 10 grand a month in fuel. So I love boats. I don't want to go broke. I like fishing boats and you know, I like good sized boats. But the reality is I'm waiting for a certain events to happen so I can easily buy the boat I truly want as a dream. And it ain't going to be cheap. Amen. And you'll never see me shooting videos and doing that stuff in it because it doesn't help you guys out. Do you really think a guy with a Lamborghini is going to help you out?
No, he's just trying to flip me and make me.
Correct. So, okay, you paid $400,000 for a car that soon is going to be worth like $150. I don't want you to teach me a damn thing because you're not very bright. Guys, it's already proven people flash. What do they call it? I see, this is where Zach's really hip and I'm not. You guys put it in the comments, you know, your swag or whatever. Dude, I could go buy anything I want. Like it's like, so I could buy almost any piece of real estate I want. I can buy any car and boat I want, but like, I don't want to buy shit I can't afford. It's stupid. And dude, just redefine what you're doing. And if it's not working and you feel like you're busy, just start back at the basics and then just reverse engineer your lead counts. And then find a way. If you said you want to do 10,000 contacts a month, you're going to have to find a way to, what is that, like 300 people a day?
I'm not trying to do 10,000 contacts a month. I'm on like a Google Voice. It's like a more sophisticated version. Yeah. I'm just trying to do at least like...
there it is. It's peacocking, right?
Not at least. Not at least. But I know you have vocabulary. But
I love this as peacocking. It's strutting. And this, by the way, guys, this is the prime example of when your ego takes over. If my ego take over, I would sit here and brag the entire time. It doesn't help you. I can't stand when I meet with other investors and all they do is brag. Listen, here's my brag. How much time I spend with my family. I have a very successful, multiple businesses with my son are very successful. And I invest in assets. which gives me time, which I can travel anywhere I want in the world. To me, that's strutting, peacocking, like whatever you want to do. Car and stuff, dude, you get so bored with it after 2 or 3 months, it's just a waste of time. And then you got to worry about the car, and the car does nothing but go down in value. And the reality is most Americans sit there and buy crap they can't afford. Why? Because they want to look ultra rich, but they don't want to become rich. And if the sooner you can recognize it, the easier it is. Because the reality is, if I give you $100,000 or $10 million, it would be the exact same outcome. If you don't know what to do with it and you don't know how to control yourself, why do they tell you every lottery winner is usually broke within a year or two? Because they don't understand money.
Yeah.
So money's very smart. It will reward the people that take care of it, and it punishes the people that buy stupid stuff. And by the way, I've been on both sides of the equation. I know which one I like better. So it does take willpower. Funny story. I was out the other day with my wife over the weekend. Everyone's buying like all their holiday stuff. I want to say I was in like a Sam's Club. It was Sam's or Costco. I hate either one of them. But everyone's like, they're just buying reindeers. They're buying $200 like blow up Santa Clauses. And I'm just like thinking, I go, what the hell are you going to do with all this stuff? You know why? Because I find all this stuff in everybody's attics when I buy their house, and there's thousands of dollars of tchotchkes, and it's all worthless.
Yeah.
If you want to spend time in the holidays and take care of your family, especially the kids, here's the best gift you can ever give a child. Just give them your time. That's all they want. All I ever wanted to do as a little boy was play. I wanted to go out and play wiffle ball, and I wanted to play football. And if my dad ever would have freaking listened to me, that's all I wanted. I didn't want to be bought. You can't be bought as a kid. That's the really cool part. And if you buy as a kid, that's how we create. Well, I'm not going to get into it.
Hey, man, I got you preaching.
Thank you
for your time. But look, I'm not going to, you know, keep, going for the excuses. But yeah, I'm just going to make sure I just double down on the marketing and cold calling and just as many leads as possible till I get that next deal.
You got it, man.
Because okay. For some reason, my second deal is when people complain about their first deal, that it really just fell into my lap. It was like crazy motivation.
Yeah.
And now the second deal is the issue, but it's just me not marketing enough.
You got it. Okay, bud, go get it.
All right, man. Thanks.
Okay. So, Coffee with Carline, I'm glad you're finally here, but you don't have to post like 8 times to do that. So, as Cena says, wiffle ball is legendary. If you guys didn't grow up on wiffle ball, you're missing out, man. We used to love that sport. My God. Dodgeball, one of the greatest sports invented in middle school when I was growing up. And now, like, everyone's scared to do it. And to me, dodgeball was like the easiest one, but it was just, you know what? I'm not going to start about dodgeball, dude. I had fond memories as a kid. And we used to nail people in the head, and it was encouraged by the PE coach. And I'm here to tell you, I think you get suspended for that stuff now. So, okay. Will, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's going on, man?
Come back up here. How's it going? Let me be back up here to my notes. I wrote my questions down. I don't want to hold you too long.
I saw you walk by. I forgot to just kind of catch you. How you doing?
Good, good. How about yourself? Glad to be on. I appreciate everything you guys are doing.
Fantastic, man. Every day above ground is awesome. A blessed one. So what's going on, man?
All right, check it out. First of all, I know you're a rap record. So I kind of keep my question there. Can you request a specific charges list, or do you have to scrape through the different items? How does it normally work?
Try to repeat it one more time because you're breaking up pretty bad.
Hold on, let me get my. I got this little headphone thing. Let me.
Yeah,
get this thing.
No, it was. I heard every third word.
You hear me now?
Yeah, no, it's perfect. Okay, go again.
Let me turn my volume up because I can't hear you now.
Can you hear me now?
How we doing on sound?
You're good.
You good? Okay. Anyway, so about arrest records, can we pull like a specific list? Meaning like if we go to say the sheriff's office or whatever, would they, can we get like specific?
Well,
charges, do we have to scrape through the whole deal?
All of them are different. Some of them will have like a master list, which is phenomenal, but rare. It'll have the person that got booked. It'll tell you the arresting officer, and it'll tell the they'll tell you the statute. They'll give you the number, and then they'll usually tell you what it is. And then they'll tell you if they posted bond or they're sitting in jail. Now, I look for bookings because everyone's a booking. Not everyone's an inmate. An inmate is somebody sitting in county jail because they couldn't get bond or they couldn't post a bond. Nobody would help them out. So either or. And then you just organize them. But like the hard part is taking that information and then you got to scrape it against the property appraiser site. And if you have an area where you have a lot of counties that intersect each other, unfortunately, you usually have to look at like all four. Because someone could just be, they could be driving back from like Disney and get caught in another county. And
I see.
Now, I will tell you, the ones I forgot to add, the major ones, is when they get arrested for a warrant, it's like instant jail time. It means they basically been on the run and they're going to have they're typically going to have, it means they were on probation and they probably did something stupid. They missed a check-in and then they enter a warrant for their arrest. Once you get a warrant for arrest, you're going to jail.
Like automatic. Okay.
Unless you've never, ever gone. And people are always trying to like, hey, Rick, what's the best cases? I already told you it's DUIs, battery and theft. Do not judge a book by its cover. And if you ever feel like you're at risk and it's like, you feel unsafe, just skip it. Like you get some weirdos in there. I'm not going to lie to you. I would never let my wife do the arrest records. She's small. She's tiny. And I just wouldn't want anyone taking advantage of her. So guys, any of the gals that are thinking about do this, please just get help with it, because the last thing I ever want to do is risk your safety. It's just, there's a lot of psychos in the world. You don't want to do that. So, but arrest records is straightforward. You look at the bookings, you look at the charges. I just look to see if it's like a felony. And then I try not to get too deep in the weeds. And so if there was 15 arrests, and by the way, Saturday night's the biggest arrest night, period. It's like Friday, Saturday is where 80% of the arrests are going to come from.
All right.
And that's it. Gotcha.
All right. One more question. This is it. Real quick. So I have a property that that I'm placed under contract. Mm-hmm. I got it really, really low. The guy was actually asking for $15,000. Okay. I talked him down to $4,000. And he was like, well, can't really do less than $8,000. So I waited a couple weeks, called him back, kind of discussed it back and forth, got it down to $5,100. But the property itself, it needs quite a bit of work. So I've been having trouble. I'm in Missouri. So of course, with that being a non-disclosure state, it's kind of hard to find, it's kind of hard to get like comps and get the ARV since everything is, you can't find the sold price.
I got it.
Is that,
you have it under contract right now?
Yes.
And how much does it need, like an entire renovation, like down to the studs? Or
I would say, yeah. I mean, most of it is just dirty. You know what I mean? Like when you look at a picture, sometimes it looks worse than it actually is. Being in the house, it didn't seem like the house was like creaking or anything when I was walking through it. It was more or less just really dirty. They kind of let it go. They had renters in there who kind of tore the place up. And
how'd you find this lead?
I was actually here in town driving for dollars. That's the best thing. I love driving for dollars. That's pretty much all I do. Cause I have a mail route. I work for the post office. So while I'm out, I'm looking and I'm back. Yeah. I'm checking vacants left and right. And also I'm able to look at vacants on our, red books in the office. I'm able to go in and I jot them all down and I go around and I'm able to find them that way too.
Listen. And so how long you got to sell the deal?
Really? I mean, they're motivated because they want to get rid of it, because they say they're tired of people being able to go in there and squat. And there's a brand new house that was built right next to it last year. And that house was built from the ground up, you know, foundation and all. So it's bringing down the property value apparently, because it's so bad.
Go knock on the new house next door.
Okay.
And say, listen, I have an opportunity if you want to buy this lot. And maybe they clear it out. They do it. Like, I would buy that house in a heartbeat, just get rid of the problem.
Okay.
And people pay big bucks for that. You should go to, what is the one built to it next to it, a nice house? clean.
Yeah, it's a nice. I mean, it's a two level. This house is actually a two level. The bottom, the lower level is down below ground, and the upper level is. It looks like a ranch style home from the top, but if you walk around the back, it's got a lower level back. The other house next door is just like it.
I would definitely approach them.
Okay.
Because that would fix a lot of the problems. And if we're not talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe they buy it from 8 or 10 from you, like whatever, and it could be a very, very quick deal.
Okay.
But I would definitely, if you have it under contract, I would get it out there, find your cash buyers that buy those types in those areas. I think you got a good deal. You just got to find the right buyer for it. That's been my biggest issue. Yeah. And then, find out somebody might fix it up and they can use it as like a mother-in-law suite. Super convenient because whoever gets it's going to get it cheap. And I don't think you're going to have a problem doing it. So I would get working on your cash buyers list.
Okay.
And then if you get stuck, if you want to reach out to me at support@flipwithrick, but I think you can do this on your own, dude.
I actually think I can too. I've been doing it probably now for about 2 months straight, like hardcore getting out there and hitting it. So I think I can probably handle the small one.
I would find out. So I know you have a non-disclosure state, but you can use listerai.com and it does an API calculation. You can also use Zillow. I found out what that value of the house is next to it.
Okay.
And I would just sell. I just sell them the whole damn thing.
Yeah, the value, the house next to it is $157,000. I looked at it actually last night.
$157,000. You got a good deal, man. I would go over there and go, listen, I can sell you this house. I would just say for like $16,000, $16,500.
Okay.
And then see if before they walk away, go, what's your offer? And they go, well, no, I can't do that. I go, well, tell me what you can do. And just try to build it in. Like I would be ecstatic if you brought me that. I'd be like, oh my God, I can get rid of this blight, this problem. I'm sure they're not big fans of it.
Okay. Good deal.
Guys, well, drive it for dollars because he can see it. It's in his market. And now he's just got to find a way to sell it. So he's going to start with the neighbor and then you got to get on your cash buyers. But like, dude, that's cheap, man. I know Missouri's a different type of market, but if you got $150,000 houses next to it, I would make that an in-law suite or I just make it like a nice vacant yard next to him. So,
all right. Sounds good, Rick.
Go get the neighbor. And add like $4,000 or $5,000 or whatever number you're thinking, because when they turn it down and they give you a counter offer, you want to make them feel like they gave you
a
good deal. So if you ask 10 right off the bat, they're going to come back to you at 7 or 8. So start like higher 16, 17 and just work your way down.
Okay.
So
I appreciate it.
You could even do a creative financing deal with them. You could have them put down like $10,000. Which basically $5,000 goes to your seller, $5,000 goes in your pocket, and then they can make $300 payments for the next 10 years to you.
Huh. Okay.
So hey, you have options. I would get your money for your seller and I would get like a decent assignment fee. And then what if someone paid you for the next 10 years, like $300 a month? That'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir.
Because you wouldn't even have to do anything because you would have a first position on the house. So. I love beautiful. That shit, man. Okay. Get it, Will.
Awesome. Appreciate it.
Okay. See you. Guys, it never ceases to amaze me the crap that you can do in wholesaling. So guys, do not overlook like the driving for dollars because it really, really works. Now, here's what I want you guys to do. Hold on. I missed a few comments. Okay. Let's see here. Okay. So I put on the bottom of here, freewholesaling.com. If you have never done a deal before and you need to get started, go over to freewholesaling.com. I will be back on Thursday with me and Zach. We got a really fun topic. I'm going to surprise you guys with it. Everybody will have a good time with it. Listen, guys, if you got value from today's live, do me a favor. Make sure you smash that like button. Please make sure you hit that subscribe button and you can be part of our 100K family or you can join our 122K family on Facebook. It never seems to stop. Remember, I'm always here for you guys. I will take the arrows from people who try to shoot us down, the gurus in this business, because nobody likes when you tell the truth and you guys need the truth to be successful in wholesaling. Go out and get your deals, guys. And I will see you on Thursday, guys. Have a